Just to follow on with that comment I was offering about the rotation of ships' crews, that was something that was quite foreign to our Navy in any case, although it was practiced from time to time in nuclear submarines and various things. As I told our CDS at the time, General de Chasselin, it was like marching the Royal Canadian Regiment into the Bandeau's regimental quarters in Quebec City at the Citadel. But, and I, from an observer's point of view, I think it was certainly well handled. The leadership displayed both by the outgoing commanding officer, Captain McLean, and Captain Cronk, who brought in his preserver crew, it was done professionally and with great leadership skills by everyone involved. I think for the families, it meant a lot to get those sailors home and the soldiers and the airmen home, as had been committed to them.
Okay, moving on to a slightly different train of thought. It had been said that Canada's ability to communicate with our American allies gave us an advantage over the British and Australians. By communication, I mean both the equipment we used and the communication channels we had between command levels, our allies, and units. Do you feel this was accurate?
I can't speak for the allies, but I certainly know that from our perspective, what we had built up over the years with our American colleagues and American Navy particularly, I was frequently on the phone with Admiral Kelso, who was a CNO in the United States Navy, as we led up to preparations for the deployment. Admiral Fogarty, who was in the Persian Gulf as the commander of the Joint Task Force Middle East, was known to us, and Admiral Maas had been a colleague from our operations in the Pacific. So we were very close to them in terms of being able to pick up the phone and say we need some help or we're looking for some advice on something. And it went two ways. I know Admiral Kelso had told me how the U.S. thinking was that they wanted to maximize the coalition forces that would participate in the Persian Gulf. That was being totally frank, and also a recognition that we had assets that would be useful to the operations. They were short of AOR equivalent ships, the tankers, and I think they were confident that if we were given roles such as being in charge of surveillance or being in charge of resupply, that we would handle that professionally, as we had done with them in a number of occasions, although not in war footing, but in major exercises. And in fact, we had just this summer of 1990, we just finished a major Rimuth Pacific exercise with Vice Admiral Dorsey, who was the commander of Third Fleet, and his idea of expanding the joint nature of our exercise in the Pacific was something that I think was the precursor to seeing our maritime forces involved in more operations subsequently to the Persian Gulf. In fact, what roles we were doing in the Adriatic as a part of naval operations several years later was, I think, a way of recognizing these capabilities that we had and the experience that we had as maritime forces in Canada.
Looking back, or I guess with hindsight now, if the Gulf War had never, or if the Gulf War had happened after the completion of the CPF program, what role do you think we might have had, or would have been relatively the same?
I think we would have taken on the same roles, we would have not had the angst about the risk or the level of threat versus these ships and their capabilities. We maybe have been able, might have been able to do things faster and more effectively if we'd had the automated systems of the CPF that, although they were there in some scale in the Athabascan, were modernized, thoroughly modernized in the CPF. But to say that we would have gone there and done something else like mine hunting or mine sweeping is I think, not applicable. And it would have given us a bigger level of comfort with the air threat, although that, again, was not a showstopper for the Canadian forces during the Persian Gulf War with the forces that we had. But it would have eased the preparation for those ships, and it would have been a good proving ground for their capabilities very early on in the life of the ship. But I don't think, given the work that was done by the maritime forces in the Persian Gulf, that it would have changed significantly the capability.
In reading into the Persian Gulf conflict, I came across a reference made by Jean Morin and Richard Gimlet describing you, Admiral, or this acting CDS, Admiral Thomas and Rear Admiral Anderson, as being the Navy Triangle that was responsible for the majority of military decisions taken between the 5th and 9th of October, or August 1990. Can you describe the kinds of things that three of you worked on during this period?
Well, I think when we look at the decisions that were being made, I think there were decisions to pursue the idea of doing something. All three of us, and in fact our predecessors and I think our successors, have continued to believe that we need to show the utility of maritime forces. And how was that going to be best achieved in this case? And I think that the work that was done by the staffs in support of these decisions spoke well for the imagination of these officers that were coming up with proposals in terms of how Canada could respond to this flagrant violation of Kuwait, and that there were things that were maybe doable if we had sufficient horsepower behind it. And certainly Admiral Thomas gave us the horsepower because he controlled the purse strings, and he was the resource manager in National Defense Headquarters, and he was the one that gave the staffs the authority in Ottawa to respond to requirements from Maritime Command. And I know he personally had said, if the command needs this for the Persian Gulf, then get it. And with a direction like that, it's pretty clear that things could happen. And so the Navy Triangle, if you want to call it that, which was really the linkage between Halifax and the staff in NDHQ and the maritime side and the resource manager of the Canadian forces, worked extremely well because we knew what we wanted to achieve and we were prepared to put the resources into that to achieve that. And that ability to show the flexibility of maritime forces was, I think, paramount.
about this time. I'd like to thank you for taking the time to talk to me today. Look forward to continuing this conversation in the very near future.
My pleasure, and I wish you all the best in your research. Thank you.